Now, this is a very, very important subject that I'll be dealing with today. The title of the message is Faith Worketh by Love. Now, remember that faith, true faith, saving faith, worketh. It does work, but it does not work by law, by rules, for reward, to gain favor with God. True faith works by love. Now, I'm going to read from Galatians chapter 5. I wish, oh, how I would like for you to get your Bible, find a Bible, and open to Galatians chapter 5. How important it is for you to see these scriptures for yourself. You know, the Bereans, God's Word says they were more noble than some more folks, because they searched the scriptures to see if these things be true. They searched the Word of God. They heard the Apostle Paul. And they still went home and searched the scriptures to see if he was telling the truth. Now, they weren't insulting Paul. Our faith must not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, in the Word of God. And it's no insult for me or to me for you to search the scriptures to see if I'm telling the truth. I want to know the truth, and I want you to know the truth. And if you'd just open your Bible now to Galatians chapter 5, Galatians 5, I'm going to read six verses from the 5th chapter of Galatians. And as I read these six verses, I'm going to point out four statements for you which ought to catch our attention, which ought to catch our attention and hold it, our interest, and hold it until we determine what the apostle is saying. These are four vital statements in these six verses. Now, let's start with verse 1, Galatians 5. Now, you follow as I read. The apostle Paul says, and he's writing to believers, he's writing to the people of the church at Galatia. And he says in verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again, with the yoke of bondage. Behold, let me have your attention, he said. Behold, I, Paul, the minister of the gospel, the apostle of Christ Jesus, I, Paul, one who's seen the Lord and got my gospel straight from God, I, Paul, say unto you, you believers, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. What did he say? Well, he said, if you be circumcised to gain favor with God, circumcision included all the doings and denials and duties and devotions and days and of religion under the law. If you do this to find favor with God, Christ will profit you nothing. All that Christ did in covenant mercies from the foundation of the world mean nothing to you. All that Christ did in righteous obedience, walking on this earth in the flesh, representing a people, means nothing to you. Profits you nothing. All that Christ did on the cross, his suffering and dying, his soul agonies, his intercessory prayers, mean nothing to you. All his mediatorial glory means nothing to you. If you be circumcised, Jesus Christ and all that he's done and all that he is shall be of no value, no profit to you. Now, that's serious, isn't it? You know why I said that statement ought to catch your attention? If I'm guilty of what Paul's dealing with in this book of Galatians, the letter to the Galatian church, if I'm guilty of what Paul is talking, what he's condemning, what he's talking about in these verses, then Christ Jesus profits me nothing. That's too horrible even to think about. His death, his intercession, his righteousness is of no value to me at all. Now, this is serious, but it gets more serious. Let's read on, if it's possible. Verse 2, for I testify to every man that is circumcised, that goes into this law business, this keeping the law to find favor with God, to gain any acceptance with God. I testify to every man that keeps days and duties that he's a debtor to do the whole law. The whole law. And Christ is become of no effect to you who try to be justified before God by the law. What did he say? Well, he said, Christ Jesus is become of no consequence to you. No effect. His death is all in vain, and it will not help you at all. Now, this is serious, isn't it? He says, and this, when I read this, Christ shall profit you nothing. Christ is become of no effect to you. Then he made another statement. Listen to this in the third verse. You're fallen from grace. You have departed from grace. You have departed from the only way that God saves a sinner, by grace. For by grace are you saved. And you've departed from grace. The only way God redeems, accepts, and justifies a sinner is by his grace. And you've departed from grace. Christ profits you nothing, is become of no effect to you, and you've departed from grace. Fallen from grace. And then the fourth statement, verse 5, he says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, now watch this, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Doesn't help a man to be circumcised or not to be. But faith worketh by love. But faith worketh by love. Circumcision doesn't profit anything. Striving to obey the law doesn't profit anything. And not obeying the law doesn't profit anything. But faith worketh by love. True faith does not work because of duty or for reward or for acceptance with God, but solely, totally, completely motivated by love. Well, let's go back over this scripture now and see if we can find some answers here. Paul makes four tremendous statements. Christ will profit you nothing. Now, I don't want to be in that condition, do you? Jesus Christ is become of no effect to you. I fear that. And you've departed from grace. I've heard that all my life. Fallen from grace. Fallen from grace. You know, I hear somebody say, well, about somebody's committed some sin and transgressed, and they say, well, he's fallen from grace. No, he's not the one that's fallen from grace. The man that's making the statement's the one that's fallen from grace. Fallen from grace has to do with trying to find favor with God by your goodness. It has nothing to do with your sins. Your sins will never keep you from Christ. Your works will. Your sin will never prevent you from coming to Christ. Christ delights to show mercy. He's the friend of sinners. He died for the ungodly. But your righteousness will keep you from Christ. People who've fallen from grace are guilty of trying to establish a righteousness. It's not the man whose sin that's fallen from the grace. It's the man that thinks he hasn't. He's the one fallen from grace. And faith worketh by love. All right, let's go back to the start here. Go back to verse 1. Let's work this out here and see what Paul's saying. Stand fast. Stand fast in the liberty, the freedom, wherewith Christ hath made us free. And don't become entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Now, the people to whom Paul was writing, like many of us, had been brought up under the laws and rules and duties of religion. They were brought up in Hebrew homes and Jewish homes and religious homes, and they kept the Sabbath days, they kept the feast days, they kept the holy days, they kept the ceremonial days. They paid tithes, 10% of even their herbs, 10% of everything. And they offered sacrifices. And the men were circumcised as a seal of the covenant. And they read the law. They had specific days on which to read the law, read it to the children, try to keep the law. They did all this to find favor with God. They did all this to establish a holiness before God. They did this to win eternal life. They thought by doing these things and keeping these ordinances and keeping these statutes and keeping these laws and walking in morality that they would gain eternal life. But Christ our Lord has come. God sent His Son into the world. And representing us, representing every believer before God, Jesus Christ, made of a woman, made under the law, walked this earth in the flesh, tested, tempted, tried in all points as we are, yet without sin, in perfect obedience, and went to the cross of Calvary and bore our sins and died for our transgressions, was wounded for our transgressions, and by His obedience He has imputed to us a perfect holiness, a perfect righteousness, a perfect sanctification without the law, without our obedience to it, but by His own. And by His death, He's reconciled us to God and honored the justice of God and brought us to God and given us a perfect holiness. And He is our rest. He is our Sabbath. He is our sanctification. He is our holiness. He is our acceptance. Now, Paul said, Christ has set you free, free from the law, free from its curse, free from its penalty, free from its power. He has delivered you from the curse. Don't get back under that doings and denials and deeds and days and works. Don't become entangled again in the duties and the laws of religion to find favor with God. Don't do it. If you do, Christ profits you nothing. Isn't that what he's saying? Behold, he said, now listen to me. Let me have your attention. Behold, I, Paul. And he knew all this because he came out of works. He listed all of his works under the leadership of Gamaliel, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, blameless in regard to the law. And he said, I count these things but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, if you be circumcised, and nothing wrong with being circumcised, but circumcision here is a summary of religious duties. In other words, the male Jew was circumcised to show that he was in obedience to the law, that it was a seal of the covenant, that it was a token that he was different from other men. He was under the Sabbath law and the tithing law and the feast laws and the laws of days and duties and so forth. And Paul is saying here now, if you do anything in religion, any denial, any duty, any doing, if a person does any of these things to find favor with God, then Christ profits him nothing. Because as far as favor with God is concerned, Christ is all. Christ is all and in all. Paul said, in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of God. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily is in Christ, and you're complete in Him. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And if you add anything to Christ, then you count Him out. He's going to be all or nothing at all. He's going to be Lord of all or not Lord at all. He's going to be all of our redemption, all of our sanctification, all of our holiness, all of our acceptance, accepting the Beloved. Well, He's not going to have any part, and you stand on your own. For I testify, now watch this next verse 3. I testify unto you, I, Paul, say unto you, and I testify further unto you, that these duties, ceremonies, Sabbath days, sacrifices, tithes, whatever, to find favor with God, to win acceptance with God, to find a reward with God, then you're a debtor to do the whole law. Once you get on this law road, you've got a long road ahead of you. Once you get on this personal righteousness business of finding favor with God by what you do, by what you give, by how you act, you've got a tough road ahead of you. You've got the whole law to keep. If you choose to meet God on the basis of anything other than Christ, Sabbath keeping, tithing, keeping the law, then you're obligated. You've obligated yourself to keep the whole law in every jot and tittle as perfectly as Jesus Christ kept it, or perish. That's what he said. You see, Christ kept the whole law. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He had no sin. There's no fault. The Heavenly Father said, I'm pleased. Now, he could never say that about you, but he better be able to say it about you. If that's the way you're going to stand before him at the judgment, you'll stand in Christ or on your own footing. And once you start on this thing, Christ is become of no effect to you. Whosoever you are that are justified by the law, Christ has become of no effect because you've fallen from grace. You've departed from grace. You've chosen the law road. You've chosen salvation by works. And if you choose the law and you choose salvation by works, then you've got to keep it all perfectly. God can't be satisfied with any less than perfection. You can't mix law and grace. If salvation by works, it's not of grace. If salvation is by grace, it's by pure grace, and works mean nothing. Righteousness before God, holiness before God, acceptance with God for a sinner is only in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, and because of Jesus Christ, and that's grace, grace, grace. Now, if I try to add anything to what Christ did, doesn't matter what it is, if I try to recommend myself to God by keeping a day, well, I believe in Jesus, but I believe you better keep the Sabbath day. Wait a minute now. If you do that to find favor with God, Christ has become of no effect. You've fallen from grace. You've taken the works road. I don't care if it's 2%. Or by paying a tithe. I know people pay tithes. They pay 10% so diligently. Why are you doing that? Well, because it's required. You're on the law road, and you've got a long road. You've forsaken Christ. He's become of no effect. You're doing this out of duty. You're doing this because it's a law. You're doing this to find favor with God, and you're on the law road. You've fallen from grace. Doing good works. Why are you doing these good works? Well, I believe if I do enough good works, I'll go to heaven. You're on the law road. Christ profits you. You're fallen from grace. Fallen from grace. Look at the next verse 5. Paul said in that, but we through the Spirit, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, through a knowledge given us by the Holy Spirit of the liberty in Christ, of the grace in Christ, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness, the hope of holiness, not by works, but by faith. You mean a man is declared righteous and holy and perfectly accepted of God only by faith? Only by faith in Christ Jesus, because he's everything. We're complete in him. Complete, that's what the word says, complete. What's our hope of righteousness? Christ. What's our hope of acceptance? In the Beloved. What's our hope of resurrection? He said, because I live, you live. What's our hope of eternal life? I am come that they might have life. It's all in Christ. You can't add even an atom. Not an atom. I say unto you, Paul said, if you be circumcised to find favor with God, that's what I'm saying now. Now, wait a minute. Watch this last verse. Now, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision, that's work. See, circumcision is a sign of all the works. Sabbath day, tithing, feast days, holy days, keeping the law, all these things. That doesn't avail anything, nor uncircumcision. The fellow said, well, I don't do any of those things. Well, you haven't got anything either. But faith works by faith. What? True faith works. It works. It labors. It strives. It sacrifices. It gives by love, motivated by love. What's this saying? Well, Paul's saying this, the man who keeps the Sabbath to find favor with God will not be accepted because he's a debtor to do the whole law and he can't do the whole law. He's born in sin. He's shaping in iniquity. He's brought forth speaking lies and his righteousness will come short of the glory of God and he'll not be accepted. But neither will the man who doesn't keep it. They'll say, well, I don't believe in Sabbath day. I don't keep it. Well, you're not accepted either. Well, who is accepted? The man is accepted who worships God because he loves God. That's who's accepted. The man who knows God and worships God because he loves God. It's not a matter of one day out of seven. He loves God every day. He worships God every day. Every day is the Lord's day. Christ is his rest. Christ is his true Sabbath. But he loves God and worships God, not to gain favor with God. Christ gained that favor. Christ purchased that redemption. Christ worked out that righteousness. We worship God because we love God. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to read the Bible. I don't have to worship God on the Lord's Day. I don't have to. And if you have to, and it's a duty with you, you're under law. But we do it because we want to. That's where we want to be. That's the people with whom we want to be. That's what we want to do. We love God. The man who tithes, diligently tithes to find favor with God, he won't be accepted. If he does it out of a duty, if he puts aside the 10% because it's ordered and under law, tithing's not taught in the New Testament anywhere. It's all under the Mosaic Levitical economy. The man who tithes is not accepted. But the man, another fellow said, well, I don't tithe. I don't believe in tithing. You're not accepted either. Well, who is accepted? The man who's generous and the man and woman who gives because they love Christ. Faith worketh by love because they love God's people, because they want to share what God's given them. They give out of love, motivated freely and fully because they love Christ, not to gain a seat in heaven. The moral man will not be accepted. I tell you this, I've lived a clean life and I've paid my bills and I've never done this, that, and the other, never killed anybody, never stole anything. You're not accepted. You got a lot more to do than that. You got to please God in every jot and tittle from the sole of your feet to the top of your head. You're not accepted. Well, preacher, I'm not a law keeper. You know that. Yeah, you're not accepted either. But who is accepted? The man who loves God's word and loves God's commandments and to whom the commandments of God are not grievous, but he obeys his Lord because he loves him. He loves him. He loves to please him. He loves to glorify him. He loves to magnify his name. True faith works not for reward, but because of love. True faith gives not for reward. I hear these preachers always talking about the reward that people are going to get in heaven. Christ is our reward. He's all the reward we need. He's all the reward we want. He's all the reward we expect. Christ is our reward. And faith does work, but not for reward. It gives not for reward, but because of love. And true faith worships. True faith worships. I don't have to go to a building to worship God. We go to the building because that's where the people of God meet together. That's where the people of God assemble together. And we delight to worship him and fellowship with them. But true faith worships God out of love for God, loves the presence of the Lord. I was glad, David said, when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. The fella didn't come and say, now this is the Sabbath day and you better be in the house of God or you're going to lose your reward. And if you go to the house of God, God will look with favor on all. He said, I was glad. Faith worketh by love. True faith witnesses. Witnesses. You don't have to organize a visitation to get God's people to visit. You don't have to organize a visitation to get God's people to witness. You don't have to get up in the pulpit and browbeat people who love God to get them to tell others about their Lord. They love to talk about Christ. They delight to talk about Christ. They'd rather talk about him than anything. Oh, to find somebody willing to listen, to find somebody who wants to listen is a delight to the redeemed soul. He loves to. That's his joy. True faith is obedient. Not perfectly. Not perfectly. We know that better than anybody. Not perfectly. But I tell you, it wants to be perfect. Wants to be like him because we love him. And true faith reads the Word of God. And you don't have to assign daily Bible readings either to get people who love God to read God's Word. They delight to read God's Word. You see what he's saying here? This is so important. He goes back here and he says this. Now, I'm telling you, if you be circumcised, if you're doing your religious duties to find favor with God, Christ profits you nothing. I don't care what that duty is. Please listen to him. Paul said, I, Paul, say unto you, if you're doing these duties to be accepted of God, to find favor with God, Christ will profit you nothing. He said, if you're doing this to find favor with God, you're obligated to keep the whole law. You're obligated to live perfectly before God because you've departed from grace. You've taken the law road. You've left the free road. You've taken a toll road and you've got nothing to pay. The free road is Christ. It's Christ Jesus. But he said, so in Christ, and he says, we wait expectantly, joyfully, for the hope of holiness and righteousness in Christ Jesus by faith. For he said, in Christ, and that's where all acceptance is and joy is and redemption is, in Christ. In Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. And that destroys both of these positions. If a fellow says, I do this, God will accept me. If a fellow says, well, I don't believe in that type of religion, God will accept me because I'm a free soul. He won't accept either one of you. Neither one of you. Circumcision doesn't avail anything. Sabbath keeping doesn't avail anything. Nor Sabbath breaking doesn't avail anything. But faith, true faith in Christ, that faith that loves him and leans on him and believes on him, it'll work. It'll work. It'll worship. It'll witness. It'll give. It'll be obedient. But it's motivated solely and completely by a love for Jesus Christ, a love for the Son of God. Now, if you want this message, I have it on a cassette tape. It's entitled, Faith Worketh by Love. And you order it. Send $2. And I'll mail you this tape and the one I'm going to bring another sermon next week on faith, the faith of Abraham. Abraham believed God. Write for this tape, Faith Worketh by Love. Send $2. Here's the address. Until next week, God bless you.